text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends the text. Do we listen to what we sing? In a mighty fortress we sing, "Though devils all the world should fill." That's impossible to the educated, that's unprovable to the scientific, and that's improbable to even the religious. And yet we sing it with gusto. While everyone else thinks that the real threat is disease, war, poverty, or deflated footballs, we think devils are. Actually, we sing that even if the world should be full of them, they aren't a threat to us. They shall not overpower us, we sing. But that means little if you think your real problem is something other than devils and the sin and death that they bring with them. In our text, Jesus exposes to a synagogue their real problem. Don't assume that everyone knew that John or Joan over there had a devil. By the way, we don't even know if it's a man or a woman. The Greek is person, not man. Anyway, we get no indication from the text that anyone knew. Sabbath after Sabbath, he or she sat there as God's word was read and expounded by teachers of the law who knew nothing of the authority of God, but only of the authority of each other. Sabbath after Sabbath, the doable law, "You should do better. You should be better. You should think better." The doable law was heard Sabbath after Sabbath, and John or Joan's devil was not bothered a bit. Then Jesus came, and all hell broke loose. Last week you heard the verses right before our text. They told you what the content of Jesus' teaching was. That's what he taught in the synagogue. That's what the devil reacted to. Jesus taught that no one could be good enough to go to heaven. Jesus taught it wasn't enough for a person to try harder to love his neighbor and God. Jesus taught doing your best was not enough. Jesus taught that good works counted for nothing before God. Jesus taught that he had appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus taught that in him devils had no power over a person. And this devil shrieked. Our text says, just then he cried out. This is the word for an animal noise, but it's an intensified form. He shrieked in horror, in pain, in rage. Now imagine if you were sitting next to him or her. And remember when the devil asked, "What do you want with us?" You're part of the us. The second phrase will really startle if you take it as a statement, not a question. As you know, punctuation's not God-inspired. There's no reason not to translate, "You have come to destroy us." Now, if you're sitting in the synagogue, that includes you. But just what sort of devil had Jesus exposed in the midst of the peaceful synagogue at Capernaum? The insert interprets evil spirit. The text says unclean spirit. Luke calls it the spirit of an unclean demon, so it is a spirit, but it's a demonic one. It's a devil. It's not evil, but unclean. Are we to think ceremonially unclean, according to the Old Testament laws? Well, everyone would have known that he or she probably wouldn't have, and they would have known if he or she was ceremonially unclean, and they probably wouldn't have been in the synagogue to begin with. And being ceremonially unclean was part and parcel of everyday life in the Old Testament church. Well, what about John the Baptist and his preaching? He preached a baptism, a washing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, a washing that Jesus continued through his disciples in John 4 tells us. But there were lots of people who rejected that washing, particularly among the Old Testament church leadership. And it never says they had unclean spirits. No, the unclean spirit John or Joan Doe had, anyone can have. Not just members of the Old Testament church, not just rejectors of John's baptism. The spirit is unclean because it befouls everything in every way. It's that green, disgusting blob in the Mucinex commercials. An unclean spirit contaminates food, drink, house, home, marriage, family, work, life. Titus says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled, nothing is. I have this unclean devil. He rises up and puts his stench on the past, the future, and the present. He defiles my hopes, my dreams, my thoughts, my ways. This unclean spirit makes me like Charlie Brown's friend Pigpen. Every move I make, every claim I stake, every breath I take is dirty, unclean. Nothing is pure, nothing is holy, nothing is right. And you can tell me that it will get better if I just try harder. You can tell me I'll win if I just keep on plugging away, and I'll listen quietly to you. But if you tell me I'm done, I'm doomed and damned, unless I'm perfectly pure, holy, and washed, my unclean spirit shrieks like a wounded animal, because that can only mean the death of him. But this unclean, befouling spirit sees something clearer than I do. Devils are not fooled when God works through means. Men are. Jesus will go to Nazareth and be rejected there because of his humanity, even though they all admit that God's grace is pouring out of his mouth. See, they can't see past his humanity to his divinity. The devil sees both. He says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the one born of Mary, the one raised as a carpenter. But he is also the Holy One of God. This devil is confessing the second article of our catechism. Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. The devils are not fooled by baptism. They don't think it's simple water only. Why else does Satan attack the man Jesus right after he's baptized? He believes baptism bestows the Holy Spirit and brings the good pleasure of the Father. And God's word is not lifeless, powerless sounds to devils either. Why else does Jesus say that when the word is preached, the devils are on hand to swoop down like birds and pick the seed of God's word out of human hearts lest they believe it? Sinful man really can be kept alive by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the devils know it, even if we don't. And devils aren't fooled by bread and wine. They know it's the body and blood of God on earth to destroy them. Judas cannot stay in the upper room communion service as soon as Satan enters into him. But why do the devils shriek and tremble so at God in flesh and blood? Why does a legion of them ask weakly of Jesus, have you come to destroy us before the appointed time? Why can't they help from running towards him and falling down at his feet? Why can't they help confessing that Jesus is true God in flesh and blood? Because this flesh and blood existence, this tangible world, this of molecules and atoms, this touchable world of muscle, blood, dust, and mud, is their battlefield. And God has invaded it. We read in Revelation 12 that there was a battle in heaven and Satan and his devils were thrown out. The text closes ominously. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Here is the battlefield, and God came down in person to wage the war. Remember how he depicts himself as the stronger man who is able to overcome the strong man, Satan, and plunder him? We were Satan's booty, his haul, his take. even as John or Joan in that synagogue was. What gave the devil's power over us was God's own law. God, who cannot lie, said the only people who can go to heaven are those who keep the law perfectly. Once Adam and Eve fell, we all did. And the law accused and convicted us with every step we took and every breath we took. You know that. Even when you can manage to keep your outward life clean, how dirty, how soiled, how hopeless is your inner life? The pure, holy law exposes every speck of dirt, every unclean smudge. So the devil says, you're mine. The law says you must be cast out from God, and I can have you till your debt is paid. And so the Jones and Johns of the world are owned by unclean spirits, fearful spirits, gossiping spirits, hopeless spirits, unbelieving spirits. Their name isn't just legion, their numbers are. But there came a man whom they had no beachhead in, no hold over. There came a man who kept the law not just outwardly, but inwardly. Not just in words and deeds, but in every thought. There came a man who stood firm in every single place that you ever fell. There came a man pure as the driven snow. There came a flesh and blood man onto the battlefield that the devils themselves had to confess was the Holy One of God. So where are those laws exposing your filthiness, your dirtiness, your foulness, kept, done, finished by the perfect man Jesus? Where there is no law, there can be no sin. That's the Bible too. That's God talking. So if you want to sit there feeling filthy, guilty, lost because you don't do this, have done that, and can't keep this, you go right ahead and do it. But you find the law that Jesus didn't keep in your place that shows your filthiness, guiltiness, or lostness. Hebrews says the main club the devil had over us was the fear of death, because the wages of sin is death, because the soul that sins must die. This too is the Bible. These too are the very words of God. God came into the world in the person of Jesus, not just to live your life, but to die your death. And I mean the painful, hellish, shameful death of a damned sinner. So the death that you fear, the death you loathe, the death you are sure in the rock-hard bottom of your heart you're heading for, Jesus died already. Every pain, every shame, every hell, every damn a sinner like you deserves, Jesus paid off to the last wince, blush, and flame. If not even Walmart will make you pay twice, how much less the Holy God? You therefore are free in Jesus' name. The devil has no hold over you in Jesus' name. He doesn't have a law to hold over your head or a bill for sins to hold in his hand, because Jesus has taken them both away. That's why the man Jesus has the authority to order devils out of us. Be quiet, come out of him, Jesus bellows in the waters of your baptism. Silence, leave her, Jesus declares in absolution. And when Jesus says to you, take, eat, take, drink, devils trip all over themselves because they can't get away fast enough from his body and blood. There is no though about it, of course. Devils do fill the world. But we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us in Jesus. If we need not fear devils, then certainly not anything that follows on their heels, be it disease, war, poverty, sin, or even death. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.